and welcome to episode 4 of the Sports Guru Podcast with the Sports Guru himself. It ain't nothing like AFC football. AFC football, the physicality, I love it. So with that said, we just going to dive right into it. Buffalo, you're up 16-0 at halftime against a horrible Texans defense. And somehow you allow your quarterback to pass 46 times. 46 times. And he throws not one touchdown, but he catches one for 16 yards. I guess they ran the Buffalo special. Shout out to the Philly special. 24-46, 264, zero touchdowns is not winning football. If I have a 16-point lead, I'm going to run that ball. I'm going to run the ball and try to preserve that lead. Singletary and Frank Gore should have been getting fed. But the Texans, they wanted it more, and it was on full display. Deshaun Watson obviously wanted it more. Coming off from a 16-point deficit, 20-25, 247 yards, a touchdown, 14 carries, 55 yards, and another touchdown. Tre'Davious White, he actually strapped, in my opinion, he strapped D-Hop in the first half, and then D-Hop exploded for 6 catches for 90 yards. He didn't touch the end zone, but his presence was felt. Josh Allen, like I said, he's a good football player. He's fearless, but he doesn't have that it factor. And it's like he thinks too much. He has so much talent, but he just think too much, and he just make bonehead mistakes. For instance, he scrambled, and he probably got about 15 to 20 yards, and he tried to flip the ball back to a lineman. Like, thank God that didn't turn into a turnover, but it's just like he's thinking too much when he should just be playing. And I'm not sold on him as a thrower. Like, he can run the football, he takes some hits, he complete passes when he needs to, but I'm really not sold on Josh Allen as a thrower. So, you know, wild card weekend, they lose that game. They lose that game. I think it was 22-19. They lose that game in overtime. They did kick a field goal to force overtime, but it's just like it was just on full display that Houston wanted it more. The Texans wanted that game more, and that just was the reality of the situation. Deshaun Watson showed up. D-Hop showed up. They get J.J. Watt back from injury. J.J. Watt posts. He only had one sack, and I think he had 2 or 3 quarterback hits, but his presence was felt when he was coming off that right side of that line. His presence was felt. So, you know. And then what I always like to see is the Patriots lost, but they ain't losing the Super Bowl. They ain't losing the AFC Championship in a divisional round. It was one and done. Brady go down. And before I get into the magnitude of the game, I'm going to just say this now. We just watched the dynasty end. Titans 20-13 on Saturday. 20-13. Derrick Henry had 34 carries for 182 yards and a tutty. Nobody want to tackle a 6'3", 245, 250-pound running back. He got the pill 34 times and toted the rock for 182 yards. Let this sink in. The Patriots defense is elite. Tannehill was 8-15 for 72 yards, and he threw one touchdown. He threw 72 yards in a playoff game in Foxborough and won that game. You know why they won that game? Because this goes down to classic playoff football. Run the ball and play defense, and that's what they did. That's what they did. They ran the ball. Derrick Henry, they didn't want to tackle Derrick Henry. This was like a Mack truck going 100 miles per hour on the E-way with no traffic in front of him. That's basically how I looked at it. Derrick Henry, he showed up. The Titans defense showed up. Ryan Tannehill managed that game. And Brady, 20-37, 209 yards and a pick. And that was a pick 6 at the end of the game. The game was already over. If I'm not mistaken, they were on the 9-yard line or maybe the 12. I'm not too sure. He threw it. Former Patriot Logan Ryan interception. Former Patriot coach Mike Vrabel beat Bill Belichick and the Patriots. It's just like you love to see Brady lose. I actually love to see the Patriots suffer. It's nothing more. My whole life, he been in the league 20 years. They won 6 Super Bowls. 6 Super Bowls. They cheated multiple times. I'm not trying to hear nothing. They lost. That's what they get. I don't want to hear we didn't have no receivers. Outside of Edelman, Gronk, and Randy Moss, when did y'all really have elite receivers, Patriots fans? Y'all always, Brady made players better. And I'm going to say this, and I've been saying it on record. His arm is not there no more. This whole year, his arm looked weak. He just doesn't have it. He need to retire. But in my personal opinion, I think he's going to end up in San Diego, and I think Phillip Rivers is going to end up in New England. That's just my personal opinion. But in my opinion, Brady need to just retire. I think he's done. The dynasty is done unless Belichick find his quarterback, which was Jimmy G, and he's in San Fran doing his thing. So I just think that reign of terror in the AFC is over. I think now it shifts to the Chiefs, the Ravens, and teams like that. But you got to commend Derrick Henry and them for, you know, all year. Mariota was suspect. Tannehill come in. They were dedicated to running the ball at you, running the ball down your throat, and I salute them for that. And in other news, So now we're going to jump into the preview. Chiefs and Texans, 3:05 Sunday. Watson versus Mahomes. Elite versus elite. The Texans beat the Chiefs in week 6. I think it was 31-24. Watson was 30-42, 281 yards and a touchdown and two picks. He also had 10 rushing attempts for 42 yards and two tutties. He threw for a touchdown and had two tutties against the Chiefs. D-Hop that game had 9 catches for 55 yards. He didn't touch the end zone. Pedestrian game for D-Hop, but his presence was felt. Now, Mahomes that game was 19-35, 3 tutties and 273 yards. Tyreek Hill caught 2 of those to go along with 5 catches and 80 yards. I think the X factor that game, my personal opinion, is Deshaun Watson. I just think that game is going to be a real high offensive game. I see both teams clearing 25. The Chiefs defense is not that good, even though they progressed over the year. The Texans defense is just horrible, and their secondary, as long as Brandley Roby keep dropping picks, because he locked to me, he's a locksmith. As long as he keep dropping picks, they're going to suffer. I think this is going to be the best game of the weekend. I'm expecting that game to be an absolute shootout. Like, I'm expecting that game to be nothing less than a shootout. I think that game is going to be physical. I think we're going to see elite A1 quarterback play. I think we're going to see Watson and Mahomes combine for about, I say, 7 or 8 tutties, because the run game is going to be a non-factor. Now, if I was the Texans, I would try to establish the run with Carlos Hyde and keep Mahomes on the bench, because if I'm them, you don't want to just go down the field and score it and give it back to them, because they get striking about 5 plays. But the Texans defense just got their hands full with Travis Kelce, Shady McCoy, Tyreek Hill, Hardman, Sammy Watkins, like Pat Mahomes. Like, they got their hands filled, especially the fronts, the linebackers in the back end. J.J. Watt, he's going to have to dominate that game and probably have to pit Mahomes on his back about twice. They're going to have to hit him as much as they can. They're going to, even if you make them one-dimensional and make them pass the ball, that's really what they want to do. The Chiefs not the type of team that's going to run the ball. And that's my only question about them in the playoffs. Like, when you need to run the ball and not become predictable, can you do it? But their passing attack is so good, it's like you got to respect it. And I do respect it. So, and they got the Chiefs favored by 10 points. And we're going to jump into that later. But that's just absurd to me. So, in the other divisional round, we got, Tennessee versus the Ravens. We got the number one rushing attack in the league, the Baltimore Ravens. They ran as a team for 3,296 yards against the number three rushing attack in the team, who ran for 2,223 yards. My X factor for this game is going to have to be Ryan Tannehill. He threw for 2,742 yards, 22 touchdowns, and 6 picks, relieving Marcus Mariota. Now, I know Derrick Henry going to get the pill. I know he can get it done. But what about Corey Davis and A.J. Brown when Marcus Peters and Marlon Humphrey is out there locked? What about your tight end Smith? Shout out that boy from Philly if Earl Thomas log on to him. The one thing I will say about the Ravens, they had 37 sacks. They were in the bottom half in the league in sacks. Their defense hasn't proven they could generate pressure without blitzing. So I'm comfortable with them blitzing, and you got Derrick Henry in there picking up blockers, or you let the blitz come in and you dish it off to Deion Lewis. I think they could do that, but this game is going to be typical AFC football. I mean, it's going to be Mark Ingram running the ball about 20 times. Derrick Henry has to get the ball 30 times. This might be the fastest football game in mankind history. I want you to understand that the fastest football game. These teams run the ball so much, it's just like the clock is just going to be running. But it's going to come down to Tannehill. We know what Lamar Jackson is going to do. We know what Ingram is going to do. We know what the Ravens are going to do. Tannehill, I haven't seen him in the playoff. I think this is his first playoff game. He's going to have to show up and make the throws he needs to make when he needs to make them. But it's not going to be the Patriots where you throw the ball and you only have 72 yards and you play the ultimate game manager that game. You're going to have to play football if the Ravens decide to stop the run, because historically the Ravens are good at stopping the run. So I want to see Tannehill answer the bell. I really want to see Tannehill answer the bell. I want to see him play football and execute. And just do your thing, because Lamar Jackson going to get busy. He going to make a couple people fall. He going to snatch some ankles, and he going to get his wiggle on. Lamar Jackson going to do his thing. But on Tannehill, and I had to choose between the two, between Humphrey and Peters, I'm going to throw at Marcus Peters. Regardless if he just had 5 interceptions, he's a double move away from being a food truck all-you-can-eat buffet. I would target Marcus Peters and not Marlon Humphrey. Humphrey's a gamer, but so is Peters. But Peters, he gambles a lot, and you could catch him slipping. And I like A.J. Brown a lot. I love A.J. Brown. A.J. Brown is the fastest receiver on their team. He's big body, 6'2", 6'3", 4'5", 4'4", speed. That's going to matter against the Ravens. So And when it comes down to advancing, I like the Chiefs advancing to the AFC Championship. I think it's going to be a close game. I think a field goal is going to decide that game. We'll still get into that later. And I like the Ravens advancing. I think the Titans got a chance, but between the four teams, I think the Texans got a better chance of beating the Chiefs because they already did it. Like I said, I'm not sold on Tannehill, and I'm sold on Lamar Jackson as a runner. I'm not really sold on him as a thrower yet, but I just like what the Ravens do. They from the AFC North. That's physical football. John Harbaugh, he been here before, so it's going to be real interesting. AFC divisional round going to be real interesting. Those are my picks right there. I like the Chiefs. I mean, I like the Chiefs, and I like Baltimore coming out. Now we're going to jump into the NFC. So, yeah, over the weekend with the NFC, man, the Saints fold again in the playoffs like a fresh lay. Like, they fold in like some crispy dickies from Modell's. Like, how do you lose to the Vikings 26-20 in overtime? You could try to blame a pass interference call that y'all didn't get like y'all did last year. You could try to blame the missed field goal. But when it comes down to it, Drew Brees is not a playoff quarterback. He puts up elite numbers in the regular season. And then when he gets to the playoff, he act like he forget what he been doing all season. Kirk Cousins, I like that. You did what you had to do to win that game. 19-31, 242 in a tutty. Dalvin Cook, 28 hard-earned carries, 94 yards, two tutties. Thielen, 7 catches, 129. I think he had a 40-plus yard reception to set them up for the game when they score a few plays later. It's just like Drew Brees, 26-33 for 208 yards and one tutty and a pick is not acceptable. Michael Thomas, 7 catches for 70 yards is not acceptable, especially when Xavier Rhodes is on you and he's beatable. Xavier Rhodes is a food truck. I feel like the passing game in the Saints should have dismantled the secondary of the Vikings. They should have dismantled that secondary. That's how I feel. But when it came down to it, the Vikings played more physical. Their defense got more pressure. Their offense made plays when they needed to make them, and they wanted it more. And Dalvin Cook set the tone on them, 28 carries. The number's not spectacular, 28 carries for 94 yards, but he worked for every yard, and the Saints felt that. The Saints didn't give up a 100-yard rusher now in 43 games, but it's just sad that, you know, to me, Drew Brees is, to me, he's sort of like a stat pattern. That's why I say he's not a playoff quarterback. Like, he's a stat pattern. Like, it's just a shame to me that you lead the NFL in all-time passing yards in NFL history, but you got one Super Bowl and you got losing records under your belt. Like, bro, you too good to be playing like that. Like, I pitch y'all on every ticket I had Sunday. I put y'all on every ticket I had. Money line, Saints money line with the over. Y'all didn't cover nothing. Like, it's a shame. Like, and Drew Brees throwing for 208 yards in a playoff game is unacceptable, bro. Like, it's just unacceptable. Like, it's just not acceptable for a Hall of Fame quarterback. I feel like the Saints didn't want it. I feel like they just showed up to the playoffs to play. When you got Michael Thomas, Jared Cook, Alvin Kamara, Ted Ginn Jr., Drew Brees, and then you got Cam Jordan on the defense, DeMario Davis, Marcus Lattimore, of others, and Marquise Williams. I feel like that's a team that's built to win. I had y'all week one as my Super Bowl pick. I changed my Super Bowl pick recently to the Seahawks, but I had the Seahawks, the Saints, and the 49ers as my three teams that could come out the NFC just because each team, to me, was equally matched with quarterback play and somewhat defensively, and all of them got a sturdy run game. But at this point, it's just like, Drew, I personally think you should do what Tom Brady's doing. You should retire, but I know you're not going to retire. I feel like you got another year or two left, even though I want to see Teddy Bridgewater. But it's just like Kirk Cousins earned himself another extension from the Vikings. Like, he already got them for $84 million, 3 years, fully guaranteed. They probably going to give him another extension after that beautiful throw he threw to Adam Thielen in overtime. He earned this money, and he finally won a big game. Bro was 0-9 on Monday Night Football. He barely beat teams with an over 500 record, and he came to the playoffs and got a dub. He got a dub in New Orleans in the Superdome. He got a dub when he needed it the most. And I respect him as a man. You got to respect Kirk Cousins as a man. I respect I definitely respect Dalvin Cook. Now, I will say this, in the next round, because they play the 49ers, Sherman going to be on Thielen 9 times out of 10. And he going to have to get that ball to Stephon Diggs because he be complaining about that football a lot. But at the end of the day, I'm not pleased with what I've seen with the Saints. I'm pleased with the Vikings, even though I don't think the Vikings stand a chance next week. The Saints is just like every year. They give us great regular season, all these highlights. Michael Thomas just he broke the NFL record for receptions in the season. He just put up 1,600 receiving yards. Yeah, 7 catches for 70 yards. That's not acceptable. And I think the Saints, they need to go find them a power back. Because Alvin Kamara is not an every down back. He's more of a change of pace back. Because this is about the, what, he had, what, 4 or 5 touchdowns this year. He was a non-factor in the game, even though he scored a touchdown. But Saints, I'm disappointed. Y'all did it again. Kudos to the Vikings in the NFC. The Vikings 49ers should be a good game. The Saints, you know what I mean, join me and every other team on the couch. We got a spot right here for you on the couch. You know, come sit down, get your popcorn ready, because now we're down to the Elite Eight in the NFL playoffs. And the Saints, sad to say, y'all blew it, and y'all not in that Elite Eight. So that's just what it is. It's going to be what it's going to be. So other news in the NFC, the Seahawks beat the Eagles 17-9. We're going to get to the hit later. Russ, 18-30, 325 yards, a tutty, 9 carries, 45 yards. The Seahawks only had about 64 rushing yards. DK, grown man, Metcalf, 7 catches, 160 yards, and a tutty for the rookie. Domination. You let a rookie dominate that secondary. It was an all-you-can-eat open buffet. It was an all-you-can-eat open buffet. DK Metcalf did exactly what he had to do, dominated. Josh McCown was 18 of 24 for 174 yards. The hit from Clowney on Wentz wasn't dirty. It was a bad play. He should have got flagged. It was helmet to helmet, but I don't think that was a dirty play. First of all, when you're an athlete and you playing football, if you never played football, your opinion shouldn't even matter in situations like these, because you can't stop on a dime. You cannot stop on a dime when you playing fast. That was a bing bing play. That's not the reason why the Eagles lost. Josh McCown, y'all lost by 8. Josh McCown kept y'all in the game. Y'all lost because your defense couldn't get stops and make plays. Y'all lost because your offense kept settling for field goals. So we're not going to say y'all lost because of Carson Wentz, but what I seen from Russ and them, classic Russ. Like I said, the 18 to 30 for the 325, he was feeding DK. Tyler Lockett was a factor. The run game was a non-factor. The Eagles ain't really do too much enough in the offense. Miles Sanders had a solid day rushing the ball. He had over 65 rushing yards. Zach Ertz had some good catches, but at the end of the day, it was just, once Wentz went down, the Eagles had no chance. I personally thought the Eagles didn't have a chance from jump street, because I just thought, you know, Russell Wilson and what he got on offense versus Carson Wentz playing with practice squad players. I was spending my money on the Seahawks every time. That's just how I feel about the situation. And I think the Eagles, I think they should stick with Wentz. I've been hearing a lot of chit-chatter, Wentz injury prone. That's something that was out of his hands. He couldn't control that. Eagles, join us on the couch. It's a bunch of other teams. Join us on the couch. Get y'all popcorn. We about to enjoy the rest of these games, because y'all wasn't going nowhere. Y'all knew y'all wasn't going nowhere. Eagles fans talking about we about to win the Super Bowl. I seen somebody tweet that they're going to win the Super Bowl with Josh McCown once Wentz walked to the locker room, and that tweet aged well. But we're going to get to these previews for the divisional round. So, you know, Saturday, 4:35, we got Vikings and the 49ers. We got two of the top six running teams collide. The 49ers, the number 2 defense, and the number 4 offense. Dalvin Cook just ran for the season, 1,135 yards, 13 tutties. 10 of his touchdowns came in 11 wins. So when Dalvin Cook scores, 9 times out of 10, the Vikings win, which was proven last week in Seattle. You're going to get some Harrison Smith versus Kettle. That's going to be a good game. Now, I think that game, the X factor for that game, my personal opinion, is going to be Kirk Cousins, because that 49ers defense is nasty. Like, you got Nick Bosa, Kawhi Alexander coming back. Richard Sherman is his usual locksmith strap nasty self. I'm expecting that front four, that front seven of the 49ers is elite. I think it's the best in the league. I think they're going to neutralize Dalvin Cook a lot and contain him, and they're going to force Kirk Cousins to play the game, beat them with his arm. So it's going to come down to, you're not going to target Sherman every play. You might not target Sherman at all unless he baits you. It's going to come down to Kyle Rudolph and Stephon Diggs and getting Dalvin Cook involved in the passing game, because that defense, I mean, Nick Bosa coming off that edge like a bat out of hell. Like, Nick Bosa is a generational talent. He's going to introduce himself to Kirk Cousins. But I think Kirk Cousins is the X factor between both teams. I would have said Jimmy G, because offensively, the 49ers, just they playbook, Kyle Shanahan, that playbook is impeccable. Like, it's just disrespectful. Like, they playbook look like a Madden playbook. Like, it's just like they really be having the day way with that playbook. You got the running game, they got Matt Bouchard, you got Morris, You got Morissette, you got George Kittle, you got Emmanuel Sanders. They're loaded. Deebo Samuel, that rookie, he's a monster in the slot. He's a grown man. Remind me of A.J. Brown on Tennessee. But both defenses are elite. But if I had to pick a defense to rock with, I'm taking the San Fran defense. I just like their secondary better. And I like the speed overall that they got on their team. And I want to see personally what Jimmy G going to show up. Because I feel like the jury, you know, we're still out on Jimmy G. I feel like he's a good quarterback. But is he an elite quarterback? Can he make elite throws and elite plays when that money is on the line, when it matters the most? Because the playoffs, you're going to separate the men from the boys. I'm expecting the Seahawks San Francisco 49ers to definitely win this game. No ifs, ands, and buts about it. I'm expecting them to win this game. And I'm expecting it to be a hard hit physical game in San Fran. But if the Vikings are going to win this game, it's going to come down to Kirk Cousins. Kirk Cousins is going to have to play grown man football. Part of me feel like he going to fold, because I watched him fold so many times against superior teams. I feel like he's really going to fold, but part of me feel like he going to show up and we're going to get a good matchup. But when it come down to it, I like the San Francisco 49ers beating the Minnesota Vikings. That's just what it come down to. And Sunday, this is elite quarterback matchup. Seahawks, Packers, 6:40 Sunday, Lambeau. Russell Wilson versus A-Rod. A-Rod, I think Aaron Rodgers had about 3 dominating games this year. I still feel like he do one of them games where you say, oh, that's the best thrower of the football that I ever seen in my life. The most talented thrower of the football in my life. But then it's like, on the other side of the field, you got Russell Wilson, who is a clutch genie. Like, he liked them dirty games they play, as far as, like, come down to the wire, nitty-gritty one-possession games. It's going to come down to that. I think that game, man, like, defensively, the X factor, I think, is a defensive player. I think it's Clowney. Clowney only got 3 sacks this year. He hasn't been healthy. He got traded from Houston, but Clowney is going to have to show up. For the Seahawks to have any chance on slowing down that offense in Green Bay, if you're not going to get the sacks, he's going to have to get consistent pressure and make A-Rod move around and chase him around all game and make him nervous. Even though he don't get nervous, that's just what's going to have to happen. Because if you're not going to get no pressure on A-Rod, that Seahawks secondary is all-you-can-eat Old Country Buffet. And they're going to get chewed up by Davante Adams and the rest of them boys. And then Aaron Jones and Jamal Williams, they eating. They are eating. Allison, the receiver, they eating. Like, that's just what it is. Aaron Rodgers, he throw anybody open. So if I'm Clowney, I'm getting healthy this week. I'm getting ready to put my big boy pants on, because you coming to Lambeau Field, it's going to be like, is we going to get a classic A-Rod game, which I think we're going to get, but you can neutralize that. Get the pressure, shack him, dump him on his back. On the other side of the ball for the Seahawks offensively, I feel like they need to set up the run, because their offense is dictated on play action so much. They got to establish the run. I would love to see Marshawn. I want to see a classic beast mode game. I think it's going to be cold in Green Bay. I think we're going to get that classic beast mode, 15 to 20 carries. I think he's going to give us about 70, 80 hard on yards, and he's going to score another touchdown. But my man asked me, do you want a classic Russ game or a classic beast mode game? I need a classic Russ and a classic A-Rod game, because that's the only way you're going to counter that, because they need to establish the run, because the Smith brothers, Za'Darius Smith and Preston Smith, just combined for 24 and a half sacks. So the Seahawks are going to have to run the ball to loosen up the pass rush, to open up the field, to bring the safeties in the boxes. At the end of the day, don't nobody want to tackle Marshawn Lynch over and over and over and over again. They don't want to tackle that man over and over again. But if that's not working, Jaire Alexander of Green Bay, I'm pretty sure he's going to be on probably Tyler Lockett. I don't think they'll pin him on Metcalf. Metcalf and Kevin King, that's going to be size versus size. 6'4 versus, I think, what, 6'1, 6'2? That's going to be a hell of a matchup. But after you set up the run, I think the Green Bay defense is vulnerable. You attack them, let Metcalf, Lockett, and Hollister do their thing, and then you feed Lynch and you feed that young guy Homer, and you do that. But again, it's going to really, this game, remember I said it, this game is going to come down to Jadeveon Clowney. Nothing more, nothing less. This game is strictly going to come down to Jadeveon Clowney. And that's it. I personally think the Seahawks will win this game in Lambeau. I'm standing on what I said in my last episode. The Seahawks are going to the Super Bowl. I think they will win this game in Lambeau. But it's going to come down to the arm of Russ. And it's going to come down to the star power of Jadeveon Clowney. Like, you're a number one pick. To have 3 sacks in the season is unheard of. It's not good. You want a contract. This contract year, you only giving us 3 sacks. Earn your contract. You a playoff player. Show up in the playoff. Give me 2 sacks on Sunday and a forced fumble and a couple pass deflections. and some jaw-dropping plays and set the tone against the run, because that's what they're going to need. That's what they're going to need. Now, offensively for the Packers, I would sling the dope with A-Rod all game. I would throw the pill with A-Rod all game, because the Seahawks secondary is really trash. Like, they got Diggs and they got Griffin back there, but them boys are not elite. They're good players, but they a food truck, just like, listen, food truck, and it's all you can eat back there. It's literally all you can eat. Like, I personally feel like if Wentz would have stayed in, like, the Eagles had a way better chance of their receivers and tight ends exposing that secondary. But I think we're going to get a classic game in Green Bay. I hope somehow the weather says it's going to snow. We get a nice ice bowl.
Which gives the January 13th, 8 o'clock, Monday night, national championships. The LSU Tigers versus the Clemson Tigers. Death Valley versus Death Valley. The tape is just impeccable. Joe Burrow, 5,208 yards, 55 tutties, and 6 picks. Clyde Edwards, 1,304 rushing yards, 16 tutties, 6.6 a clip. Jamar Chase, 75 catches, 1,559 yards, 18 tutties. Justin Jefferson, 102 receptions, 1,434 receiving yards, 18 tutties. The true freshman, Derek Stingley, 6 picks, 15 deflections for the LSU Tigers. And on the Clemson side of the ball, Trevor Lawrence, 3,431 yards, 36 touchdown passes to 8 picks. Travis Etienne, 1,536 yards, 18 tutties on 8 yards a carry, 8 yards a clip. Every time he run the ball, he damn near got a first down, essentially. T. Higgins, 56 catches, 1,115 yards, 13 tutties. Isaiah Simmons was the best linebacker in the nation, 97 tackles, 6 sacks, 3 picks. Clemson averages 45 points a game. LSU averages 48 points a game. Clemson gives up 10 points a game. LSU gives up 21 a game. This game, I think, honestly, is going to be the best national championship we ever seen, as far as, you know, the talent that's on the field, a lot of NFL talent. You got two big-time quarterbacks matching up that's going to see each other a lot on Sundays. You got two good running games. You got two good receiving cores, good quarterback in play. Clemson has the way more superior defense. I honestly think LSU defense is a food truck. They give up a lot of points. They give up 21. Clemson give up 10, but I've seen Alabama drop 40 on them. This going to be a high-scoring. This might be the best national championship we've seen since when Deshaun Watson beat Alabama. And I'm saying this in the sense of, I'm thinking both teams are going to clear 35, maybe even 40. This give me like NFL Peyton versus Brady vibes. Like, this rivalry is going to be so intense. Now, my personal opinion, the spread is 5.5. I like LSU to win, but I don't think they winning by 5. I think this is going to be a 1 or 2 game. I personally said it on record, I prefer Trevor Lawrence over Joe Burrow. I've seen him do it longer as a true sophomore, but I like Joe Burrow this year, and I think Joe Burrow and LSU are going to run down on Clemson. I think LSU offense is just too explosive. You got two receivers with over 1,400 yards receiving and 18 touchdowns. You got a running back that averaged 6.6 yards a clip, and Joe Burrow really got 5,200 passing yards plus and 55 tutty passes. So when I factor all that in and I think about it, I just think it's going to be a physical, fast-paced, hard-hitting, no-nonsense game. I think it's just going to be, like I said, the best national championship game we ever seen. And the X factor to this game, I think, is going to be coaching. It's going to come down to coaching. I think it's going to be a chess match on the board. Coach O and Debo Sweeney going at it coaching, I think that's the X factor. It's going to be one of the coaches. That's what it got to be. You could try to put it on one particular player, but the stars going to show up to play. Clemson been here before, so Clemson is going to adapt well. They've been here, what, the last 2 or 3 years? Just a third straight year in the Natty. This LSU first time in a national championship in years, like in years. So I'm eager to see how they adapt Monday night when the lights on, when the lights are shining the brightest, because it's going to go down. But like I said, my personal opinion on the winner for this game is LSU. I don't think they'll win by 5.5 or 6. I don't think they're going to cover that spread. Again, I'm thinking the score is going to be on record. I'm saying 43-40 LSU Tigers. I think they win with a field goal this time expire, like epic fashion. Like, that's the only way we should want that game to win, with a walk-off field goal in epic fashion. And I think Trevor Lawrence will have the better game, but I think LSU wins the game. Like, Trevor Lawrence, that's my guy. Like, he remind me of Peyton 2.0 with mobility, and Joe Burrow remind me of Brady 2.0 with mobility. Like, and that's just what it is. No. And let's switch gears back to the NFL. A lot of coaching changes. We're going to start with the Cowgirls. My fault. We mean the Cowboys. I'm glad they fired Jason Garrett. That should have been done 4 years ago. They signed my guy, Mike McCarthy. I feel Mike McCarthy. Aaron Rodgers had some of his most impeccable years with Mike McCarthy. The Packers had some of their best success and won the Super Bowl with Mike McCarthy. Mike McCarthy, he let his players, you know, be themselves and bring what they bring to the table as long as there's no nonsense. His offense is real diverse. You ever seen the Packers offense before this year? And the Packers offense for the last 10 years, it been nasty because of Mike McCarthy. And you know what? Mike McCarthy is going to make Dak a better version of Dak that we ever seen. I think Zeke is going to benefit Zeke, Dak. I think it's going to benefit the whole offense as a whole. I think the Cowboys definitely need to go get them a tight end because Jason Witten not getting no younger. But this was a great hire. It was a sneaky hire, honestly. I thought Mike McCarthy was going to end up in Cleveland until they fired their GM, John Dorsey, because you know that's Mike McCarthy, man. But great hire for the Cowboys. I'm happy for them. I mean, the NFC East just got better. We're going to stay in the NFC East. The Giants got Joe Judge, Patriots wide receiver coach under Nick Saban at Bama as a special team coach for the New England Patriots. Also, he was a receiver coach for the Patriots. No-nonsense type of guy. He's not scared to ruffle feathers with his players. He's firm. He don't take no shit. And they saying he's a program builder, quote-unquote program builder. So I think for the Giants, I can't say it's a good hire or a bad hire, but most people that come from the Belichick and Nick Saban coaching tree, they know how to prepare and they know how to coach. So he got a lot of young talent on his hand with Daniel Jones, Saquon Barkley, Sterling Shepard, Slayton, Evan Ingram. That they just need to fix up that defense. But I think, you know, Joe Judge, he's going to be in a good position, in a good spot as far as, well, we got some breaking news. Cowboys offensive coordinator Kellen Moore is leaning toward remaining in Dallas with Mike McCarthy. I think he should bring his own offensive coordinator in because I think he'll still bring principles from Jason Garrett offense. That was just live and direct breaking news, and I'm going to give it to y'all as we go. You see how we doing it? But back to the Giants. Great hire. Not great, not bad. Stephen A. snapped about it. It's to be determined. He got a lot of talent on his hands. We're going to stay in the NFC East. The Eagles the only team that make a change, and that's a good thing. They got Ron Rivera. I think that is, personally, I wanted them to get Urban Meyer. I think Ron Rivera is good for Haskins because he was good for Cam. I feel like that's good for Haskins and all the young talent they got on offense and defense. They hired Jack Del Rio as the defensive coordinator. That was a great hire for the Redskins to get Ron Rivera. Like, that was an impeccable hire. I think it was a clutch hire for the Redskins. I think not even that I think. I feel like it's just good for Haskins and his career. But I just felt like the coaching that he had last year when he was getting in the game, they had him on a short leash. They wasn't letting him be him. So I think, you know, another good hire, three good hires in the NFC East. The Panthers got Matt Rhule. But that Baylor turned them from worst to second best team in the Big 12 in 2 years. He transferred Temple. He transferred Temple when he was at Temple before Baylor. He transferred them and took them to a bowl game, and they had won a conference. So he's a program turnarounder, what we're going to call him. So Matt Rhule, I think that's good for the Panthers. Now, the only thing question about the Panthers is, what y'all going to do with Cam? Let him get healthy and keep him? Or are you going to trade him? Because I don't want y'all to burn my man C-Mac out. McCaffrey get the pill too much. We need to slow down with that. Get that boy from Philly, my guy, DJ Moore. Get him the pill more. Keep feeding Greg Olsen and Curtis Samuel and things of that nature. But do not burn out Christian McCaffrey. Please do not do that. I beg you, Matt Rhule and the Panthers organization, do not burn this man out. But I think those are all good hires by the teams that was looking for coaches. The Cleveland Browns, who everybody thought was going to the Super Bowl, I was one of the people that thought they were going to make the playoffs. They still looking for a coach. I wouldn't be surprised if they get Jason Garrett or Jim Schwartz or even Marvin Jones, or they hire somebody because they need to get somebody in there that could coach Odell the way he needs to be coached and get Baker to stop throwing interceptions. The Browns need God. They need Jesus. Like, the Browns is just, like, they're a disappointment. They're a disappointment. Like, there's no way you got all that talent as a football team, as a head coach, and you can't put that together and win more than 6 games. Baker is Jameis Winston 2.0 as far as throwing picks. He need to slow down on that. But that's it with the NFL football talk, man. Now we're going to switch gears. Yeah, Yeah, man, I actually been depressed since Christmas. Like, Sixers get a win against the Bucks and then go on a 4-game losing streak. We snapped that 2 days ago on Monday against the Thunder, 120-113. But it's just like, it's like we'll show up to play good teams or superior teams. We'll show up and get them a run for their money. And then we'll play a team like the Wizards or Cleveland or the Knicks, and they really be in the game with us for four quarters. Like, I don't understand that. Like, I really don't understand. And I blame that on coaching, and I blame that on our players not having that dog in them, like, not having that killer instinct in them. Like, certain teams shouldn't even be allowed to be close to us in the game. Like, I don't be understanding it. And like I said, it just come down to coaching. Like, even with Embiid, like, his body language on the court to me, it just looked like, you know, Joel, it's like he don't care. I don't know how much he missed Jimmy Butler, or if he don't like Britt Brown, or if Al Horford band on the team clogging up the paint for him, or if he hate Ben Simmons for not shooting threes, or if he just mad that he can't be him and be goofy and he trying to be more mature. But bro, you don't even look, if you hear this, bro, you don't even look into the game, like, into it. Like, you just be like chilling, like Capella got over on you. Like, these centers you be playing, it's like they be getting over, and I just be looking like, wow, like, you should be dominating these fools. Like, yeah, Monday you dislocated your finger, got back. That was nasty too, bro. Your ring finger was in a direction I never seen. Your ring finger was doing a worm, essentially. I respect you as a man for getting back in the game and still hustling. I don't want you to hurt yourself. We gonna need you when it matters the most. But it's like, bro, I need you to lead by example. If everybody else ain't gonna shoot the ball and be aggressive, you be in the paint and you start dunking on fools, bro. Like, it's good. I see Joel, you can shoot a three-pointer here and there, or shoot, I like when you in the mid-range, but to consistently be walking up and while we in transition and you following behind, or you set the pick and back out in the shooter three, sometimes they go in, but a lot of times they don't. I want to see you in the paint within 18 feet from the basket and in and dominating, because nobody can stop that little fadeaway, and your moves is too impeccable and nasty. Like, your footwork is precise. Like, you don't need to be shooting threes all the time and be like that. It be killing me, and it's just be killing me slowly. Even with Al Horford, we get him up. Boy, we get him 110 mil to average 12 points. I understand he a good defender, but bro, 12 points ain't cutting. And personally, I think we need to trade Al Horford for a shooter. And the shooter I'm talking about, go get me CJ McCollum, or go get me Ben Donovich from Sacramento. Go get me a shooter for Al Horford, but don't get me Kevin Love. I understand Kevin Love the shooter, but my man, shout out my man Cliff from the Six Pie. I sent him the info on Tuesday about the trade, and he was like, nah, bro, Kevin Love don't play D, but we need CJ McCollum or Bogdanovich, or we need some type of sniper. Like, we need to go get Seth Curry, some type of sniper. Like, I, at this point, it's just like Horford, the paint is too clogged up. We really need shooters. I want to honestly, Simmons, I like the way he played point guard. You know, recently, the last 10 games, he's been averaging 17, 10, 10, 2 steals and a block, playing way better and aggressive. But I like Simmons at the power forward. You can still push the ball up and have the ball in your hands. I like him as a point forward. I think we need to go get an actual point guard that's going to shoot and score where teams can respect us, because when we in the half court, we fool. When teams run a zone, somehow Britt Brown from the Greg Popovich coaching tree can't beat his own. Like, this shit is not elementary school, bro. This shit is not rocket science, bro. Put Embiid at the foul line and let him operate from there, and then bang, like, and shoot the ball from the three. But that's why we need shooters, because, bro, we make 10 threes a game. That's horrible. That's like second or third from last in the league. Like, come on. Mike Scott is a streaky shooter. Korkmaz, he be knocking down shots, but he's hard. He's trash on defense. Free Thibault from the injury report. Like, please. Heard he about to come back soon, but the Sixers need to make a move for a shooter before the February trade deadline. Like, and that's just what got to happen. I think we should move on from Al Horford. I don't think it's working. I think it's too clogged up. You essentially got Horford at 6'9", 6'10", Simmons at 6'10", and Embiid at 7', all in the same lineup. Like, I like what the Thunder doing. They run a three-headed monster guards, like three guards starting. Like, we don't need to have three big men. The way the NBA is, you need shooters, and we don't got no shooters. Like, Tobias can shoot, but Tobias give me mellow vibe, like a young mellow, a mid-range mellow vibe. Like, I don't need Tobias acting like J.J. Redick, like Britt Brown wanting him to do, taking 10 shots a game. Like, that's not going to work. That's not feasible. Trey Burke getting more minutes. It's been good to see him get more buckets. I feel like defense has got to play us different when Trey Burke is handling the ball, when him and Ben Simmons in, because Trey Burke can shoot, and he's a little crafty getting to the rack. So I actually respect Trey Burke's game. I like Trey Burke. Just don't let Neto get in the game no more. I'm over Quirk Moss, but I want C.J. McCollum for Al Horford. Trade Al Horford and Zaire Smith and give me C.J. McCollum, and that's just what it is. And we got Kevin Love. I wouldn't be mad, even though he don't play defense. Simmons, Thibault, and Tobias and Embiid play defense, so even though he don't play defense, I respect it. Ennis don't play defense either, but he hustled. I mean, he hustled real hard, but Ennis is he's ass to me, too. He's trash, but I just feel like, you know, with all this talent we got, how superior we are, it's no way that we a six seed. But Britt Brown, before the game yesterday, said, I have failed in getting Ben Simmons to shoot threes. Like, when they asked him why Ben Simmons don't shoot, after he said he wants Simmons to shoot a three a game, he said, I have failed. And then he said he hasn't drawn up a play for him to shoot the ball. I'm going to say this again, like I've been saying on all my other podcasts. Fire Britt Brown and Mark Jackson, me, please. Bro, was that like a plea to Ben Simmons through the public? Like, how can you tell us you fell? Go tell him that. I feel like he don't hold Ben Simmons accountable to shoot mid-range or threes. And now I know you don't draw plays up for him. So it's just like, I understand. I'm not going to vouch for him and say I understand why he's not shooting a three, but I understand it. Like, run him a play to shoot a three, bro. You ran all these plays for everybody else. Like, we need to get him shooting mid-range. I feel like it's 50-50. I feel like he's not doing it because he doesn't want to, or he's not confident, and then you're not really requiring him to because that's your man and you know his dad. So I feel like that got a lot to do with it. But Britt Brown, I couldn't believe you said you failed to get him to shoot a three. Like, bro, like, when you said that, I wanted you gone at that moment. I wanted to step in and be the head coach or next man up, put the assistant at your job and let you go, because if we have a first or second round exit, we have to fire Britt Brown. I want Mark Jackson, but at this point, we should have kept Monty Williams. We should have never let him escape and get this Phoenix. And it's just like, for him to say that was just like, wow. Like, but I will say this, I agree though. You have failed, Britt, and you failed miserably in getting him to shoot threes and jump shots. This is his fourth year in the league, but his third year playing. And he took two threes this season. He made both of them. Like, why can't he keep doing that consistently and consistently? Why? Because you don't require him to. That's just what it's coming down to. You're not requiring this man to shoot. But my thing is, if you're not going to shoot threes or jump shots, bro, you got to attack the rack like Giannis every game. Like you've been doing the last 10 games or so. You've been real aggressive in attacking. Benihana, I used to call you Benihana last year because you always was cooking. This year, I just call you Ben. Benjamin Simmons. Benjamin Simmons. That's your name now, bro. But I love it. The 17-10-2-1 the last 10 games. I love it. But we need that aggressiveness more and more, especially Thursday when we play Boston, because we don't know if Embiid going to be there. We don't know if they getting Kemba back, but we need to collide and we need to go at Boston. We need to get it popping. I feel like Thursday we got a big game. I feel like, you know, it's our time to start a little win streak, because there's no need to win one game at the four-game losing streak and lose. I'm not dealing with that. My heart is not built for that, but again, I trust the process, but we have to make a move. Even if we can't get a big fish in the trade, go get me Mark Bellinelli. He's dying in San Antonio. He's begging for Sixers, trade me down or buy me out. Like, Jamal Crawford is a walking bucket. Go get me a, if you can't get me a sharpshooter sniper, get me a bucket off the bench that I know for sure could come off the bench and give me between 11 points and 14 a night. But I need a bucket or a sniper. I prefer a sniper, because in this day and age, you need a sniper. That's just the reality of the situation. But I don't know. That's just how I'm rocking. I just feel like the Sixers in a good space. Maybe we wait into the playoffs or the second half of the season to turn it up. I hope that's not the case, to be honest with you. But, man, I'm not happy with the sixth seed. I feel like we the best team in the East. Miami scare me. The Bucks, I'm not scared of the Bucks. The only team that I'm worried about running into the playoffs is a healthy Raptors team, because somehow Marc Gasol own Embiid. I'm scared to run into a Boston team because somehow Brad Stevenson owned Brent Brown and coaching after the second half. And Miami, they just play harder. They dogs, they shoot. And I feel like when we play Miami, Embiid is a double agent. He's a double agent. I mean, shout out to my man Cliff on the sixth spot. He pointed it out to me. Horford is a double agent. I think he's secretly working for Boston. Bro, I really hate Al Horford now. At first, I respected the signing because I felt like it was an insurance policy for Embiid in case he get hurt. But at this point, bro, nah, bro. We ain't giving you 110 milli to play, average 12 points a game, bro. I can average that in the NBA, all free throw shit. Like, I'm going to go right to the rank. And one Keys, and one Guru. Like, come on, man. We got to do better. Like, that's really what's going on. We got to do better, and we will do better getting a sniper. And other NBA news, Zion started 5-on-5 drills today. That's good. I actually want to see the young fella. I think, you know, I'm on record telling my homies, telling the guys that I want to see. I think right now he's just a dunker and he's real athletic and he blocks shots good and he jump high. But I want to see his game evolve. But I feel like he can dominate the game in the paint because he's aggressive. But I want to see some dunks and some crazy shit. I want to see young boy get a rebound and go up and bang, bang. You mean catch a body under the rim. Like, that's what I'm eager to see and I want to see. So I hope we can see him on the court this month or sometime next month. But I'm hoping this month because New Orleans needing Brandon Ingram been playing out his mind all year. Lonzo, last 3-4 games, he averaging like 27-7. Lonzo coming into his own, and he balked up. They got our sniper, J.J. Redick. I really miss J.J. We should have gave J.J. whatever he wanted and not signed Al Horford. We should have gave J.J. whatever he wanted. We should have kept Jimmy Butler. I don't think Jimmy Butler fuck with Britt Brown, so that's just where I'm at with it. But it's cool, Jimmy G. Talking to my homie the other day. He was like, Ja Morant, Rookie of the Year. I told him, bro, I get that, how you feel, but Kendrick Nunn averaged 15.4 and 4 assists on a second, third best team in the East, the Miami Heat. I think right now, and as we sit here today, I think Kendrick Nunn is the Rookie of the Year right now. He's, like I said, it's one thing to be playing on a losing team and putting up numbers, but it's another thing to be playing on a great team and putting up numbers. They're two different things. I ain't gonna say they're a great team, but a very good, sturdy team that can get the job done, I feel like, against any team in the league, and they've been showing it. So I feel like Kendrick Nunn right now is the Rookie of the Year. Defensive Player of the Year, I was watching Undisputed. Shannon Sharpe said Anthony Davis was the Defensive Player of the Year. And I had to tweet him and ask him, you know, bro, did Ben Simmons die, bro? He averaged 2.2 steals and a block a game. He been strapped on a team, best player all season. He been getting steals and deflection all season. Ben Simmons is truly a locksmith on defense. Like, when we play other elite players, I'm not worried about nobody getting off on us, because when it comes down to it, it's going to be, we're going to strap Ben Simmons on you, and when Thibodeau come back, we're going to strap him on you too, so you can have it your way. But I think right now, as we sit here today, Ben Simmons is declared Defensive Player of the Year, and I'm not being biased, but I don't think this shit is even close. Like, Ben Simmons been, like, he been excellent defensively. I wish he had the same energy on offense, but it's like he got his picks on when he dominate offensively. I think Ben Simmons the top dog in the league defensively right now, and that's why you pay your max player. So don't ever say my man ain't deserve that money. This ain't that, and this never will be that. MVP of the league right now. I think the MVP of the league right now, I see Giannis doing his thing. He got better than he did last year. Harden, that 38 don't impress me, bro, because it's like you don't win when you do that, bro. Like, when Harden, have y'all noticed the trend that when Harden doesn't jack, they look regular and lose the teams they're not supposed to? But when Harden in his bag and he taking massive shots, they look good. So it's like, to me, it's like his team can't play a balanced game when he's trying to play a team a balanced game. I just feel like that he's not impressive to me. Anthony Davis has been impressing me, but 25-8-11, year 17, that's the MVP of the league, Sir King James. I mean, it's just there. This man averages 11 assists, like 11 assists. Like, he's having a field day passing the basketball. His over for assists be 10.5 on the Sugar House FanDuel Parks Casino app. Take him for the over for his assists, because Anthony Davis is going to get about 6 assists from me tonight. Brian always going to find the open man. So it's just like, at this age and this year, 17, 25, 8, and 7, it's like it's unheard of. I've never seen nothing like it. I feel like we never seen nothing like this. He only getting better. The bounce is still in his leg. I just feel like Brian is the MVP. Ben Simmons, Defensive Player of the Year. Rookie of the Year is Kendrick Nunn. Now, the most improved player in the league, that's a good one. I didn't even think about that. Most improved might be SGA. I don't know how to pronounce his name. The young gun from OKC for the Thunder. He been doing his thing. And I like Spencer Dinwiddie from the Nets. He's just a bucket. Like, bro, just a bucket. But I think it's Cuz from the Thunder. He's just a walking bucket. Like, he just get his. I think he averaging 18 or 19 a clip. He's just so smooth and crafty with the ball. He was giving the Sixers gas on Monday. I mean, we won the game, but he was giving us gas. Like, I think, yeah, right there, that's how I feel. I think he's the most improved player of the year at this point in the season right now. Coach of the year right now is Frank Vogel. Easy for the Lakers. We knew the Lakers was going to be this good, but I don't think we thought they was going to be good this fast. And even though the Lakers haven't beaten the Clippers, I think the Lakers are the better team because, shout out my guy, Pimp. I was trying to argue him down a couple days ago. He was like, bro, Paul George is scary in the playoffs. Paul George is food in the playoffs. I think he had one good playoff series, and that's when he was with Indiana, and they played Miami the last time I recall. So Paul George is definitely food in the playoffs. But, yeah, Frank Vogel, I remember it was the rumors he going to be a bridge. Coach be there 1-2 years, and Jason Kidd going to take over. At this rate, I think Frank Vogel going to keep his job this year and next year and maybe the year after. The Lakers just – They're operating at a whole nother level in this rumor circling. They might trade Kuzma for a shooter or a sniper or just another player. And I think that's cool, too, because Kuzma was supposed to be the big three. He's their third superstar. This man is coming off the bench. And somebody told me he was better than Ben Simmons. When they said that, I just looked at him. That was blasphemy. That was disrespecting my intelligence, playing with my intelligence, saying Kuzma was better than Ben Simmons. Bro, when you hear this podcast, bro, you know what I'm talking about. But the NBA, what did I read yesterday? Dwight Howard is going to be in a dunk contest again. I don't know if he still got that type of bounce he had 8 years ago, 10 years ago, but I think Ja Morant should enter the dunk contest and he'd be dunking on people. He'd be dunking on grown men who got families and moms at home watching them perform. He'd just be dunking on grown men. I think, Ja, that's the answer. I think we need to get Ja in the dunk contest. I'm sick Zion can't get in. It should be Ja, Derrick Jones. Who else be banging? Get Ben Simmons in there. Ben Simmons can really dunk. I would love to see Giannis in a dunk contest, but I don't think Giannis got no tricks up his sleeve. I think he just run through the lane and just take these amazing long strides and just bang on shit like the operator. But, yeah, that's my opinion for the All-Star weekend. And I think they should go back to the regular format. Like, I don't know. All that drafting, letting players pick their teams. Like, I'm not with all that, bro. Like, just do East and West this year. Had the Eastern Conference, the Western Conference. I feel like the fan vote shouldn't even hold no weight. Like, Taco Fall is one of the leaders in votes, bro. I think this man played in 2 regular season games. I just felt like you disrespecting a bunch of other people. I mean, you ain't disrespecting my guy, Ben Simmons. I don't think he deserved to be in the All-Star game yet this year because offensively he's been letting me down. But there's no way Taco Fall get the votes. But I think the All-Star game should just go back to the East and West format. And then the NBA was talking about proposing an in-season tournament. Like, Adam Silver, bro, you're doing too much. I respect that you're trying to, you know, make the game more funner, bring different aspects to the game and different ideas and stuff of that nature and that magnitude. But, bro, keep the season the way it is. Keep the divisions the way it is. Change the All-Star game back to normal. Make it where they can wear, where teams don't wear All-Star jerseys. Like, they wear their team jerseys. The East wear home colors and the West wear away colors of their team jerseys. Like, take it back to back in the day. And, get Vince Carter in the dunk contest. I feel Trae Young energy. I know Vince Sanity ain't got that bounce no more, but it is what it is. And other NBA news, Derrick Rose is going to be participating in the skill competition because you know the All-Star game in Chicago. I hope Derrick Rose make the All-Star game. I hope the whole Chirac vote for bro. Like, bro been a bucket since – he's been a bucket since he came in the league, but he's been healthy – since last year in Minnesota, I don't want jinx, bro. He really get hurt. But he's been healthy since last year in Minnesota. He's still getting buckets this year for the Pistons. Like, somebody get Derrick Rose in the All-Star game. I feel like he should be the top in conversation, him and Lou Will, for sixth man of the year. That's probably Lou Will award again, unless voter fatigue set in. But, Derrick Rose been doing his thing. Let me see. Am I missing any other NBA news? Fire Britt Brown and Mark Jackson, me please. I feel like that gotta happen, and that's what I want to happen. I feel like this is no longer to trust the process. The process is over. It was complete. Now it's about winning championships and winning games, and I don't think we winning enough games at the magnitude I'm used to winning games at, or I want to win games at. But, yeah, right there, that's my, that's my NBA news. You know, that's what we doing with the NBA. So we're gonna transition. You know, you at the in the locks with the locksmith himself. So we're gonna start with the Titans. The Titans is favored to lose by 9 to the Ravens. I feel like taking the Titans plus 9 or running their spread up to like plus 13 is the safe bet and a good bet. I think the way them teams run the ball, this game is gonna be, I get the feels of a 21-17 game or 21-24. It's just no way that Vegas or the bookies or FanDuel or whoever think that the Ravens are going to beat the Titans by 9. No, this is not happening. If the Titans get the ball first, they're going to run the ball. If the Ravens get the ball first, they're going to run the ball. I just think the Titans' defense is solid and their offense is solid. I think they're going to lose the game, but they're not losing by 9 points. Like, that's a husky-ass spread for the playoffs. Seahawks, they're favored to lose by 4. I think you take the Seahawks. Me, personally, that's my Super Bowl pick. I will money line the Seahawks. I think they're going to upset them. If you bought that paper and you bought that bag, I think you'll money line the Seahawks. But I think to be on the safe side, you take the Seahawks with the plus 4. You know, but if you want to be super safe, you would take the Seahawks plus 7. But I would take plus 4 or money line the Seahawks. I feel like that's the safe bet. I feel like you got two. If Aaron Rodgers score, Russell Wilson's going to respond. If Russell Wilson score, Aaron Rodgers is going to respond. So I feel like that's going to be a shootout. And I think the winner, which will be the Seahawks, they're going to win by 3 or maybe 2. So I don't see the Seahawks losing this game by 4. I feel like this is going to be a close game from start to finish. It's like I said, it's elite quarterback play versus elite quarterback play. Or Titans and the Chiefs. They got the Texans and the Chiefs. They got the Texans favored to lose by 9.5, which is 10 points to the Chiefs. I feel like it's no way on God's green earth they're favored to lose by 10. I understand that their defense is tragic, but they beat these dudes already week 6. And Deshaun Watson and DeAndre Hopkins are grown-ass men. I just feel like 9.5 is high. I understand they got to go to Arrowhead. I think Watson is built for that. I think the safe bet, take the 9.5 and the over. The over is 50.5. Like I said, I think both teams are going to clear 25. 25 plus 25 is 50. So I think the lock for that is take the plus 9.5 and the over, which is 50.5. And I think that's a great safe bet. I think that's a beautiful bet. I just think all the underdogs this weekend that's favored to lose, I think some of them going to lose this. I think they're all going to lose except the Seahawks, but I think they're going to cover. So I think a plus 9.5 and the over 50.5 on the same bet. You could do the money line and the money line and the over as a double bet, or you could just take the over as a separate bet, or take the plus 9.5 as a separate bet. That's a great bet. That's a locksmith right there. You could thank me later when y'all cash out and just send me my funds. Minnesota is favored to lose by 7 to San Fran. That spread was at 8.5 before, and it's at 7. I would take the 7. I think it will be a touchdown game. And mind you, they can lose by 7, and you still cash out. They can't lose by more than 7. But I think that game is going to be like a 5-point, 4-point game. I don't see the Vikings. I feel like they got big guys. Adam Thielen. You got Stephon Diggs, Kyle Rudolph, Dalvin Cook. It was yet to see what Kirk Cousins is going to show up. But the Minnesota Vikings defense is good. Outside of Xavier Rhodes getting picked on, front seven is sturdy. They got a bunch of Pro Bowlers, all pros. Harrison Smith and Anthony Harris are back there strapped. Anthony Harris had 6 picks in the regular season. He had another pick in the playoffs against the Saints. So I feel like that plus 7 is a little disrespectful and too high. So that's a lot. I would take the plus 7. I wouldn't take the over for that game. I don't know what the over and under is, but I don't think that game is going to be like high scoring. I think it's going to be like 20-17 or 23-20, like something of that magnitude. I don't think it's going to be a high scoring game because these are two of the best defenses in the league, two top 10 defenses clashing. And then another lock, I think they got Clemson to lose by 5.5. Like I said earlier in the cast, I like the Clemson. I like LSU to win by a walk-off field goal. I think they win the game by 1 or 2 points. I think the plus 5.5 for Clemson is a lock. I don't know what the over is. The over might be around 50 or 60 points because they both average 45 and 49 points respectively. But I think, you know, taking the over for this game, like I said, it's going to be a shootout. I think both teams going to clear 40. We're taking a plus 5.5 for Clemson on Monday night in the national championship is a safe bet. So I just gave y'all
1-2-5 locks. Clemson for the +5.5. Minnesota for the +7. The Texans for the +9 and the over 50.5. Seahawks +4 or money line. And take the Titans +9. Those are all locks for the weekends for the Saturday, Sunday, and Monday game. Football, football, football. And they the locks. Call me the locksmith. And you cash out, thank me later. So hope y'all enjoyed this episode for the Sports Guru Podcast. Sports Guru checking out.